Brass Stacks, you would have heard the original roundup. We are on to the 2 p.m. time. We have Mr. John Stout as our producer. He will be the one who will be dealing with all things technical. And I'll take you until 2 p.m. My name is Lisa Gale. I look forward to hearing you call and share on the different matters. Down to Brass Stacks.
Good afternoon, Ms. Gale.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I heard a lady discussing a problem that some tourists having with bottles. You don't think it's something that the Fair Trading Commission should get involved in?
The Fair Trading Commission responds to complaints and anything that deals with fair competition. That's not to say that it isn't fair competition, but has someone taken the matter to the Fair Trading Commission? Does it warrant a Fair Trading Commission intervention?
In my opinion, yes, because let me explain why.
Mm-hmm.
If that establishment had put up a sign that bottles are not refundable after they're taking your 25 cents, people are not going to go and buy none from them.
That's probably why they didn't put up the sign.
but let me tell you something. No, I would like to know which establishment it is, because I will go and buy some. When they take my money, mm-hmm. and they take it back. Mm-hmm. And they don't take my money. Nothing can tell me that the shop that they're telling me can't get by my money, that they can't drop up my hand. And they can just turn my back and walk straight up.
Sir.
Yeah, no.
I'm laughing, but that's a very serious matter. You're suggesting that in response to a policy that you do not agree with, you suggest that you would quietly defy by dropping bottles in the establishment?
But who saw that is shocking?
I'm asking for clarity. Is that what you're suggesting?
Ms. Gill, that's unfair.
Which part of it is unfair? The dropping of the bottles or the charging of the 25 cents?
The charging of the 25 cents and you are not taking back your bottles and giving me back my 25 cents. When you take bottles to the depot, you don't get back the same money for them?
While I agree with you that the policy does have some flaws in it, what I can ask you as the rational consumer is that you have choice.
Not rational.
You can choose not to purchase those drinks from there, either at the establishment.
Know? How would they know? There's no sign telling me that this particular establishment do not give back refunds for bottles. They have to put up a sign. I would like an attorney calling on this. God, honest to God.
It goes that far?
I am one that would go in there and they would drop up my hand.
So question for you. Now, let's break this down one by one. You've bought a drink for $1.50.
Yeah.
And they're telling you that it really is $1.75. $1.75.
Right.
Because this 25 cents is for what?
For the bottle.
For the, what of the bottle? What?
For the bottle, the pay by you taking away the bottle.
Right.
That is the 25 cents for that. So in other words, the drink is $1.50
mm-hmm.
and 25 cents is for the bottle.
Right.
So you got my 25 cents in your cash register.
Right. So you return, you drink your drink, you go, you have your fun, you drink your drink and you come back.
I come back.
And you return the bottle.
I return the bottle.
There is no bottle return at said establishment.
Yeah.
Right. So they don't take the bottle. So you ask back for your 25 cents.
Yeah, I ask back my 25 cents.
And they said, no, that's not our policy. We don't give back the 25 cents. You have to go to the bottle depot.
Well, I'm going to drop my hand.
But which bottle? The same bottle?
Honestly, the bottle's going to drop my hand there and then cause a shock. Because you are stealing money from me.
Okay. I learned a long time ago, and I'll be honest, I didn't share this with the caller, but I learned a while back that there's no return policy for a lot of these bottles. So you either buy the one in the, when I buy my six packs, if I do, on the odd occasion, I buy the one in the can. If you're buying a cooler or a malt or a plus, buy it in the can so that you just put the can in the garbage. You don't have to deal with all those bottle returns.
But Ms. Gill, in my opinion, that's so unfair that when that lady was talking, it was cringing. I didn't know what story it is to go and buy some. I drop all of them in there and then we like one of them to touch me. Ms. Gill, go on though.
You are one of those very interesting characters. It is interesting and it's important for us to express how we feel on occasions in these type of instances. This is Dr. Brad Stats.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're on the
air. I'm calling about the cleaning the drainage.
Yes.
On Spring Garden. They clean up all the stuff out the gutters and just got them put alongside the road. When a vehicle got pulled off of that, eventually it'll cause accidents down there. You have, years ago, you had donkey carts. When they got the men clean, they got the men sitting behind them and taking up the stuff all the time. Now we got all the modern equipment in the world. You just clean it up. It don't make sense cleaning it and left it there. Call all the vehicles and send it right back down the gutter again.
You are raising a very, very important matter. And it has to do with policies and procedures, common sense, irritants, and a whole host of other things. So so we start with the drainage, the removal of the debris to reduce any flooding, right?
Yes,
full point. That's needed, and we have people who do that.
Yeah.
But then, for some reason, sir, across the length and breadth of Barbados, we have all these drainage, the removal of the debris left in the road.
I
wonder, what about the coordination of agencies where, after that is done, isn't there, okay, where we do all of our cleaning on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, okay? So that people who are rostered then would do the removal on the said Monday, which is in the afternoon, of the persons who would have done their work between 1 and 11, sorry, between 8 and 11 or 7 and 11. And then on the Wednesday, on the Thursday, and then on the Friday, do the full cleanup so that every single week people can traverse the length and breadth of Barbados with weekends not being impaired by the passing traffic.
Yeah.
Don't you think that that is a common sense process that can be put in place in whichever agency it is?
Yeah, but I hope they're listening now to what I'm saying.
But trust me, this has been said before, and it has been said before, and it has been said before, but on a continuum, we continue to see the same debris in the road, a can, not necessarily a can, sometimes you may have the orange thing there,
the cones, when they're doing it,
but they remove the cones, they go off, they leave, and then it stays there. And sometimes, you know what, sir? It dries. It dries. Or sometimes a car may have to resort to driving over it if it is sufficiently flat. That is ridiculous.
Okay, I clean.
So before you go any further, I'm going to say this is another call to the MTW.
Yeah.
Another call to the MTW for there to be some coordination when there is that drainage removal. Is it the MTW or is this falling under drainage now?
I think drainage now, because I'm supposed to take it out.
Because it could be the drainage department to ensure that the cleaners and the removers, I'm still here very much, and the removers do what they need to do. Now you go on to your second point, sir.
Okay, I clean from one cemetery to the next, right? And your stuff stayed there for weeks. So I called, then he called this button, I called the next person, then he called this person. Eventually, some people that was cleaning the road then come and take it up and throw it up in a little gap.
Oh, no.
And leave it right there. The same stuff from the way I clean it. They put it in plastic bags, the plastic bags decay now, evaporating. And all the stuff back on the road again. There by the canal, hello?
I'm still here. You either have some challenges hearing.
The canal
going
straight to the harbor. I see the chop down a lot of the bush there. Wherever you get rain out again, all of that stuff going straight inside
into the port.
So I tell them, anytime they clean the air by the flour mill inside the port, I will let them get some divers and go down there. If they don't take at least about 20 or 30 truckloads of stuff from down there, they don't take nothing. Because there's nothing to block the stuff from coming from Bridge Gap all through the country that comes down through that canal and goes straight in the port. In the port is a dam right there by the flour mill. There's nothing to stop the stuff from going into the sea.
Oh, boy. It is a serious challenge. And I remember one morning I was actually driving to Broadstocks in 2019. I think it was 2018 as well, because I've seen it on more than one occasion. And I said, when I get in, I'm going to mention this. And, of course, you come in and you mention other matters. But this is not even a peeve of mine.
Yeah.
This is a disappointment of mine. It's not a peeve. I am disappointed whenever I see it, because it tells me poor coordination. Because if you know that someone is rostered to do the I mean, I can't repeat myself. If someone is rostered to do the removal, organize a time and let them do it less, as we just said, at the first part of the day, and let the removal be in the latter part of the day.
It's just, I hear saying now with Brandon, I'm supposed to clean up Brandon. That's the guy that's
You're the gentleman that they called and told me about?
Yeah, I
Who does the morning work?
Yeah.
But oh, kudos to you. Thank you so much for your work. Thank you so much for your care for the environment.
I plan to clean the whole area again and put it right into NCC hands and leave it all together. Because the people, they'll be down there at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And it's cleaned at least about till after 7 or 7 o'clock.
So you don't get to sleep? What time you go to bed?
I go sleep around 8 o'clock in here. But my hands start to catch. I got carpal tunnel also in my hands.
Yeah, I think the person mentioned that you were having some challenges. Yeah.
When it started, like, it started hurting me. So I just get up and go out.
Oh, I'm going to find something to do.
Find something to do.
Mm. It's therapy for you then?
Yeah, you know, yeah. And then, they don't even say, well, give me a couple of bites to put this stuff in.
Yeah.
I just have to bite the bite out of my pocket.
Wow. I did hear. Thank you. Kudos to you, indeed. I did hear about the hard work that you and your wife do consistently in cleaning the beach and in the environs of the Brandons and the hot pot area as well, too, right?
No, I don't go along there. I don't go along there.
Just the Brandons area?
I go from the Flower Mill.
Flower Mill, right down to...
Straight down to Wiser.
To Wiser. Yes, I did hear about you, yes. It's good that you listened to the program and you were able to call and share. Yeah. So maybe there could be some partnership because one of the comments, I think one of those same callers called today, but I wouldn't call his name.
Oh.
But he is the one who suggested that there be some partnership entered into between yourself and the ministry, the respective ministry, where there could also be payment. I know you're here saying...
No, I can't.
I know
can't
you get... said you don't want
right.
and can't because he did
it. I can pay my wife because she don't work either.
Right. Yeah. But there could be some partnership because you are doing the work and you have been doing the work consistently.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping that the powers that be can hear you and can facilitate some kind of partnership. And it doesn't have to be monetary donation, but I'm sure there are different ways in which we can return. You are what we call an unsung hero. And I'm gonna say on behalf of the users of that space, thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Okay.
For the work that you do, and I hope that the
hand
and the both hands, that there's some healing that will come your way from our Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much. So have a good day.
Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much for calling. I do have some folks here who have responded, who have indicated some of them their disgust with one of my comments, but I'll share. And as it relates to the aluminium in the bottles, a caller is suggesting that we should recycle and we should encourage recycling. I did say that I put them in the garbage. I was being extremely honest. And it is something that I may have to consider. But what would I do with empty malt bottles, or not necessarily bottles, but malt containers that are made of aluminium? It's not a forte of mine. It's not anything that I enjoy. I'm not an artist in any way, so I would just have to find a way to recycle them and give them over to the person who can probably find something better to do with them, because it is really not my forte. I have been recycling, though, for that person who thinks that I'm impacting the environment negatively. I have indeed been recycling and ensuring that the environment is taken care of by saving a few containers made of card. That's what I have been trying to work on, and I hope that I probably should encourage myself to continue to recycle in some other form. I probably can add something to it. So if I do purchase those bottles or those containers, I would definitely look to working to finding somewhere to put them in another place so that I don't hurt the environment. So I'm going to thank that WhatsApper for that little slap on the wrist to ensure that I take care of the same environment that we want to be a part of. Remember, we are borrowing this earth from our forefathers and lending it to our children. The music tells us that we are going to go to the latest on Starcom Network News. And remember, Brass Stats is going until 2 p.m. Don't to Brass Stats. Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we go until 2 p.m. I do have a little chuckle here from our WhatsAppers who seem to be pretty perturbed about this 25-cent charge. And some people are indeed saying that we should go to the Fair Trading Commission because it is not right. Because when they also go to the establishment for the return, for the bottle return, they're only getting 10 cents. So something is awry. And so many WhatsAppers have responded in that regard. So this is something that is of particular import to most of them. And then we also got the response in terms of the beach cleanup. So if I were to just go by percentages, we have about 50 to 60% of persons commenting on this bottle return policy and citing the unfair nature of it and asking for some form of an intervention. Someone has gone as far as to say that if an establishment is open 6 days per week and really full text, something is inherently wrong with the establishment charging 25 cents per bottle as a deposit, but yet refusing to repay the 25 cents when the bottle is returned to them with the purchase receipt. The purchase receipt will ensure that only bottles purchased from a particular establishment is returned to that establishment. If that establishment is open 6 days per week and sells 1,000 bottles per day, that is 72,000 per year. That is legally not theirs. No, not necessarily. You got to take off one of those zeros. Something is wrong with that scenario. And the two of those zeros, and the authorities should be looking into that practice. That is very interesting for, in terms of the serious nature of people actually expounding on this subject, which they think is one where our customers are being unfairly disadvantaged. And then we got a few callers, probably like 10% or so, or not callers, WhatsAppers, that are mentioning the issue with respect to drainage and the lack of coordination. One person actually said it is not MTW, that it is the Sanitation Service Authority who should remove the extra debris. So if we do have an error there and it really isn't the MTW, then whichever entity it is should be aware and should come and share on what are they going to do in terms of the coordination. Because only yesterday I heard the minister of, he's responsible for both SSA, NCC, that is the Ministry of the Environment and Beautification, Mr. Trevor Prescott, and he spoke extensively on the work of that very big ministry. I was very, very, very pleased to see my colleague, she was formerly a supervisor of mine, Miss Daphne Kelman, who is the permanent secretary in that ministry. Hats off to her. I say she's an excellent civil servant. And if she were to have trained you, you would be well trained. Very gifted lady. I was glad to see her sitting next to the minister, but he talked quite a bit on the work of his ministry. He defended a lot of elements as it relates to the SSA and the NCC and the work at the new big expansive place up there in Waterford called Botanical Gardens and the ongoing work in planting trees and a whole host of matters. But if it falls under your ministry, sir, I would ask that you improve on the coordination so as to ensure that our passers-by, not only the motorists, but the passengers as well, that they are not disadvantaged because someone decides to clean the drainage and then that piece of space where they would ordinarily pass, they are impaired in some fashion. So down to Brass Tacks. We look forward to hearing the rest of your calls. The number to call, 4341790, and the WhatsApp will be 266-4862. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I would like to find out from the Prime Minister, from Minister of Labor, from Minister Strawn, why is it that they came to the public and said that those people who had their pensions taken away from the Treasury were going to have them back? But up to this date, only some people have gotten theirs. Mm-hmm. And someone who I know who inquired as to why she hasn't gotten hers, she was told that she was not entitled to it because she was not in the service before 1975. But some of those people who have gotten back theirs were also not in the service before 1975. And she was also injured on the job. And some of those people, for sure, were not injured on the job. So my question is, why have some gotten back theirs and not some?
Yeah, so that's a legitimate query. Why some and not some? And
yeah, so.
What I usually like to do, though, is to get some more facts.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're speaking on behalf of someone else.
Yeah.
And you would have asked a few questions.
Yeah.
And they reported that the reasoning that they received had more to do with the entry time for which they entered the service.
Yeah.
And not necessarily what type of pension it was.
Yeah.
So could you help me here? Her scenario is that she was working.
Yeah.
She came out medically unfit.
Yeah, she was injured at work.
She was injured at work. She was getting one pension or two.
She was getting national insurance invalidity benefit, I think.
Right.
That's what it's called.
Which is then converted to pension at the point of age 67. That and then she would have bypassed the age of 67 and was receiving something, which she thought was a pension?
No, she's not 67 yet.
Oh, she's not 67 yet.
Yeah.
But was receiving what? Because you started out by talking about why were the pensions that were removed.
But she was getting from National Insurance and she was also getting from the Treasury.
Okay. But is not 67 yet?
No, she's not 67.
So what could she have been getting from the Treasury?
Well,
you see now why we have to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Because what I understand the Treasury pays is that pension, as you get to pensionable age,
mm-hmm.
you get that. What NIS is paying you will be your invalidity mm-hmm. Benefit.
Yeah.
So she's getting nothing at this point?
No.
Or only one of them?
She's getting something from National Insurance, but what she's getting has been reduced.
Significantly reduced.
Mm. So it has her in a really bad situation because mm-hmm. there's no way that she can survive
on that. Mm-hmm. And she's not 67 yet. There's some unanswered things there.
Yeah,
you need to get a little more information. But has she been able to visit the Treasury to ask for some clarity?
Yes, she did.
And the clarity is that, you didn't enter before 75. And that doesn't make any sense, though, because that a person who would have started the service at 75 or in 75, would that's 45 years ago.
So, I don't know. My thing is, they said they came to the public and said that they would get it back. So why haven't they gotten it? Mm-hmm. Only some people have gotten theirs.
Yeah, there are a number of persons who received theirs, but then I understand that there are still a few trickles
mm-hmm.
of persons whose issue hasn't been rectified. And mm-hmm. for some reason, it seems to have a relationship between the invalidity benefit and the pension, but in this instance, you're citing that this person is not at the age of 67, so
not yet.
They wouldn't be getting pension yet. Then, so it is what is the quantum of monies then that they will be concerned about that they're getting from the NAS. And having worked in the service, how long have they been working in the service?
15 years.
Okay. Yeah, that there needs to be a little bit more explanation there, and in a continuous.
Well, somebody needs...
The person was working for a continuous time period in the same place, same establishment?
Yeah, at the same place.
In government as well? Or
yeah, in government.
That's interesting.
So somebody needs to answer the question.
Well, it can be answered on here. It is a matter that needs...
But yes, I know that.
I'm not saying that no ventilation is necessary publicly. What I'm saying is that her specific case needs all of the facts being brought to the fore. Her visiting both the Treasury and the NAS. I think the specific scenario would be the NAS.
She has visited the Treasury more than one occasion, as far as I can remember.
So it is the issue isn't really just the Treasury, because we established that she's not at pensionable age. So it is really the quantum of funds that the NAS is paying, whether or not that's commensurate with the contributions that she would have made when she would have been working. And then the other question of the family has to answer is whether that's sustainable for her. So there are a number of questions there. I would encourage you to encourage her to visit again. And if she can devote a couple hours, talk to them beforehand, or even write a letter and ask for some clarity, set up a meeting and get some answers. I did get a WhatsApp much earlier in the day, where a person they said thank you to the NAS. They normally see a lot of complaints, but they want to say thank you to the NAS for the good work.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't read that WhatsApp earlier.
Okay.
But thanks for calling, thanks for sharing, and I hope that matter is gotten to the bottom of very soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, tell that lady what she need to do is write a letter to the Accountant General explaining her situation, and she can send a copy to the Ombudsman so that in case there's a follow-up, the Ombudsman will look into the matter, because there's more in the mortar than what is in the pestle. Right, because everybody's case might be a bit different, right? Because some people will get money to a pension at 10, if they put in 10 years and over, because they get pension at 33 and a third. But if she's medically fit, there got to be some reason why she's not getting the monies and stuff, so she should trash that out with the Accountant General and write a letter, because you need to document these things so that they can investigate the situation.
I always agree with writing. That's always an excellent start, so thank you for sharing that.
Okay, thank you.
You're finished? Okay. I was smiling as you were speaking, because... You know, in Barbados, we use some terms, and only around independence, unfortunately. We reflect on these terms. We go into what they mean, etc. It's usually a very exciting time for me, because I like games and I like learning little tidbits. So you just said that there's more in the mortar than in the pestle. And I remember saying only this week to a colleague of mine that there's more in the pestle than in the mortar. But it's actually more in the mortar than there is in the pestle. And when you look at the mortar and the pestle, the mortar is like a container, like, and the pestle is the long stick, which kind of grinds you call those the herbs and the spices and different things. And you know, when somebody said there's more in the mortar, they mean the container has a greater capacity to some extent, if you want to be technical, or you say, man, that body is sharing enough information. And we know what took place over the weekend, where we had the instance of the situation with the hoteliers, well, more so the restaurateurs who vacated Barbados in some abrupt circumstances, and we don't have all the details. And the same term came to the fore, where people said there's more in the mortar than in the pestle. So you made me smile when you came and you shared that, and it is true. We do have more facts in her case that may need to be brought to the fore, so that we can wrestle down that situation, so that her financial scenario can be fixed. Because we don't want a scenario where you worked or you depended on a specific amount of money for any length of time and you became comfortable at that place, and then all of a sudden that carpet again is pulled from under you. Another term, but again, you have no to catch yourself. So thank you for sharing that. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks, I can hear you. I can hear some breathing or some air, whichever one.
Hi, are you hearing me?
I can hear you loud and clear. I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Yes. Sorry, I'm actually sitting in a car park on my car phone.
Okay.
I was just calling about the more in the more than the pestle comment that you were just giggling at, because I'm just like you. I love stuff like that.
Okay.
But I was just calling to make the correction. So the thing is actually more in the mortar than the pestle.
Right.
Because like you were saying, so there's nothing in the pestle. So there's more in the mortar than the pestle. Because the pestle is the thing that you can see in the mortar.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind it is that there's more in there that you cannot see.
More in the mortar.
Yes, that you cannot see. So you can see the pestle.
Right.
The pestle is sticking out.
But you can't see,
you can see the pestle, but you can't see the other content. So that's the idea behind the thing, that you can't actually see the other content.
Yes.
The pestle can't hold anything.
Yes. It is a kind of like a stick, a broad stick, or broad implement that sits inside of that bowl.
I find we say a lot of things, but we don't really think about the meaning, and so we just say them, but then we start to say them incorrectly.
That's true, because we heard them incorrectly as well in many instances. So what is helpful to me is when I Google it, because I did, and I saw what the mortar looks like, I then had a much better concept of, that's why I would not make the mistake of the pestle and the mortar anymore, because I know the mortar is the container and the pestle is that thing which sits in the mortar. Mortar.
Correct. So you're seeing the pestle and you think that that's all that's in it, but that's not all that's in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really what they're trying to see.
Because you usually can't really see. If you look at these, because there are several photos. And the thing is, when I used to go to the museum many years ago, more than once. I've been there a couple times. And you will see these little, what we call old things, like the joking board and all these things. And you didn't really appreciate them, because sometimes you didn't even know the name for some of them. I didn't have the privilege of growing up and knowing all those things and being in those type spaces. So I always would say sometimes mommy was a little too modern, although she used a number of the terms. But it helped. Mm-hmm. It helped me a lot. So thank you so much for sharing that.
You are welcome. And now that you mentioned the implement, one thing that hurt my heart recently, and I guess not so maybe sometime last year, was Cyril Cot. I don't know if anybody is doing any work to renovate Cyril Cot, but I went there for an event, and there are a number of those old implements that you mentioned.
Yes, they still have
and
some.
And lots of them are in a state of disrepair. It's really shabby. So I would like to see those things. I would like to see Cyril Cot look like the museum that I think it was supposed to be, so that you can come and look at the things and enjoy them. But they really just have them all tossed around and rusty, and it was saddening. Mm-hmm. I was saddened to see that was the state that it was in.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing. More in the mortar than the pestle, and not than in the pestle. Thank you so much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am calling with reference to, it has to do with pensions as well.
Mm-hmm.
What persons used to pay in the service before 1975 or around there? It's called widows something.
Yes.
That, persons would have paid.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, if that person dies and their widow or is getting a pension, the person would normally get the other person's, whichever is higher of the two pensions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I find that is not happening anymore. I know of one person who would have applied, her husband died. And she has since died and never got it. And there are two other persons who would have applied for that. They two worked in the service and they're getting pensions, but they are not being paid the higher of the two amounts, which would be like their husband's pensions.
Mm-hmm. And representation was made?
Yes. They would have gone to NIS, gone to the treasury, fill out all the forms and everything. Mm-hmm. But I find that quite a number of people, they are not getting those pensions. Mm-hmm. One would be 2 years, like in September,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is longer than that. I think
that's
something.
I don't have all the details. I know I can probably pick up the phone and call one or two of my colleagues who will be very readily available to share the details. And it would be good if that there was a gentleman who called. I stand corrected, but I think it was in November or October of 2019, and shared extensively on the pension and the disability. The disability fund and the payment that was made, and then he talked about the change prior to what took place prior to 1975
that has nothing to do with disability.
I'm aware, I'm sharing with you what he shared. He shared in summary
in the service years ago. It's called widows and something, but I don't remember the last part of it, right?
I was telling you that the gentleman shared quite a bit on the subject that you refer, as well as the matter relating to disabilities, as well as the matter relating to all the details on pensions and stuff. And he's a former civil servant who clearly worked in the National Insurance Department, and he was very knowledgeable about the matter. And it is those type persons who sometimes you appreciate them calling and exposing on matters and giving us context. He was very informative,
But I don't know if it's the Accountant General or if it's the Treasury, like from that side, but they need to come and let persons know about it, because quite a few people there are not benefiting from that.
Wasn't there a change in policy? From what I gather from his presentation, he did talk about what took place, what obtained, and then there was a change to the policy in the early 2000s. And he went into the explanation for the change in the policy.
It wouldn't affect like those people, because they would have been in the survey. They would have been prior to 1975. Long before 1975.
Right, okay.
It would be people like after that. And these people that I'm talking about, their husbands would have paid, into that fund like way before.
Into the Widows and Orphans Fund?
Yes, way before like the 1975 when the changes were made and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So they should still get that.
There was once upon a time, I don't know if it's changed, but I remember when I first entered the service, there was also on our NIS that was deducted from our salaries, there was an element that went to training. And for persons who were appointed, they did not get that deduction. Only persons who were not appointed or who did not have the until further notice attributed to them. And their NIS, part of their NIS went to something called the training fund, etc. So there were a couple of things that obtained that don't necessarily exist now. And there were some changes, as you would appreciate, based on if we were to do that for all and sundry, then there might have very well been the potential depletion of the fund down the road. So I think some of those decisions were made. But, of course, let someone who has all of that detail come and share with us.
I think that, somebody should come on the program and share, because those people are looking forward, you know.
But I'm a little surprised that if they entered prior to service, entered the service prior to 1975, that they are not eligible, because one of the things that said that there was a kind of like a grandfathering of the clause, or there was something that allowed any person who entered to still continue to benefit, but anyone who entered post-1975 were no longer beneficiaries. That's what I understood.
Okay, but if somebody need to come in and address that issue, if they're not doing it anymore, because these people are looking forward to, you know, receiving that benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have attended a lecture too, where they talked about that. A lot of people don't know about it, mm-hmm. you know, but they need to come and talk about that benefit, because people are dying and they're not benefiting.
Yeah.
Benefiting
and
from
minors,
what?
The benefit of minors when a parent dies and those type things. Useful.
Yeah, because like, a lot of people don't know about those things, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're just getting away with it. So they need to
come. So the National Insurance needs to up the ante as it relates to...
I don't think it is NIS.
But someone here is saying the BRA or the Treasury, but I think it is all on... It is still all on sundry, because it falls under... You remember, people are querying as it relates to pension. And we know that person, the situation also. So I think there should be a concerted effort on the part of those three departments, the Treasury, the BRA, and the NAS, to put together some information guide with all of these consistent queries that keep coming and share that with the public. It may not always necessarily sit.
You go and you fill out those forms and stuff and you put them in. And they're not saying that you put them in and they said, oh, you bring everything, it's okay. But then they're not doing anything about it. You're not receiving
I wouldn't say that they're not doing anything about it. I think that sometimes information takes a little too long to get to the beneficiaries or the people who are waiting on the benefit in some way. And then sometimes people don't necessarily always share the right information or all of the information. And that can also stymie them from getting the same benefit that they are eligible for, because they may go and fill the form out and leave out a pretty important thing. Very recent, there was a family member of mine who told me they only found out about some benefit that they could have been benefiting from for quite some time, but they just didn't know.
So I don't think, in this case, they said no, it didn't. You know,
sorry?
In this case, that wasn't like, you know, where they did not fill
out. You said they tried, yes, you said they tried.
They did not fill out the important, you know, what they were supposed to do. No. Well, yeah. Anyway, I just thought I would bring that up.
No, it's useful. It's an important call for the members of certain units and departments, i.e. the National Insurance, the Treasury, the Barbados Revenue Authority, to be consistent in sharing information, because there are a number of persons who are not aware of their rights, their roles, and their responsibilities. Some people are not aware of the types of benefits that they can have or that their family member can have in incidents of death, etc., or even injury. And therefore, it will be useful for more information to be shared on the part of these departments. Thank you so much for sharing. This is Dr. Brastax.
Thank you.